proud of it. We should be going again. It's going around, anyway.
But
is this the mic
in
here?
Court, I showed the fact that they had a method of closure of open range, that they admitted to the fact of open range. And that wasn't
sure,
the
court, sure.
And the Supreme Court of Alaska is still using that decision.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Don't tell Rob down here about that. He'll have his horses out here. So,
well, as a matter of fact, that's what I tell the horse owners. I said, don't let your horses run free, because if you get involved in a situation, you may make somebody pay for that, all right. You know, but by the same token, you're
losing the horse.
No, right after that, the neighbor's going to go around and close the open range.
Yeah.
And you've got the protection now, and don't rock the boat.
So the point is that it's actually, all of this land around here is open range until you fence the cows out?
Yeah, you have to have a fence out law, right.
Yeah.
And even then, you have to build a 5-strand barbed wire fence or equal to.
To fence them out?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, that must be how Funks used to herd their dairy cows all over the place all summer long.
Oh, yeah.
So were they on the open range thing?
Yeah, that's helpful.
Oh, Lyndon and I were discussing, and that's how I dug up all this information.
Oh.
Because he was doing open range, even though he didn't know it was legal, you know. But then there was nobody else out here with it at the time. What the heck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Cows always came home in time to milk, you know?
Yeah.
How many cows did he have down there?
I don't know.
I'm sure he
Of course,
had.
You know what has got me about these animal cruelty people? They were always bitching about cows with just crossing their noses and stuff, you know? But the guy who had the highest cream line milk production that's ever been made in this area was the guy, what was his name? He was down right at the Chena Pump Road. He was way down on Chena Pump Road. He had a bunch of old box cars.
I've heard about him.
What was his name? Anyway, they got all over him. But yet, you know, the health of the cow is directly related just to the production, right?
Yeah, I think so.
If they're not good, healthy cows, they won't make the production.
Yeah.
And he had the highest production rye and cream rye of anybody with Holstein cows in the area.
Interesting.
What was his name?
Does it go that far over?
It does, I think.
I don't know if he had okayed yet or not down there, but then.
Let's see.
There's Miss Ray.
There's Chena Pump.
Because he was also, you know, one of the university types, too, you know.
This is where I found the hill. He must have been down on the road. He was right along the right south of the road. Maybe he's south. He was right down here, right in this area somewhere. Must not have been there in 1953 or whatever this map is. He might not have been because I know it was 50. He got started somewhere around about 51 or so.
Somebody
else has talked about him. I've heard about him.
Well, this is 53, so he should have been there.
Smith's Ranch?
I wouldn't think it would be Smith's Ranch. You know how Bernard got all those properties?
How?
During the Second World War, when the guys were getting drafted and going in the army, a lot of them went back and they sold the property to get money for the families to live on, you know,
right.
While they were gone.
Oh.
And Bunnell, and he paid for a whole bunch of them out here.
Mm-hmm.
And then some came back and he told them he'd come back and also give you pay me back the money and you get your land, you know. And a lot of them did.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them did.
Some of them didn't.
And it was all of those that didn't. Is what he dedicated later on to university.
Oh, that's interesting.
Up and out. He was quite a guy.
Oh, he was Gustafson.
Huh?
John Gustafson.
Gustafson, yeah, he was there. But it was right off the Chena Pump Road.
Yeah.
And
Chatham, Colburn.
Oh, it was below the pump station.
Mary Lucy or some such.
They're really handy right about there. I've been right in here as far as that, but then I can't remember his name. But he always got me on that. The deep dudes were out there getting all over about the cows because they had frost in their noses, you know.
Right.
But those cows.
Did you have cows? Or horses?
No, I had horses. I
oh, you did?
Yeah.
And where did you get your horses?
I bought it from, what's her name over on Farmer's Loop?
The one, Louds?
No.
I mean, Wild?
Oh, Dorothy Wild?
That wasn't
me. Or was it the woman with the Appaloosa?
No. I don't remember. I can't remember her name.
Hmm.
Well, let's see.
So how did your horses do in the winter?
Fine. I was raising them all the time.
Did you have any shelter at all for them?
I had that old faucet hut that I the kennels had brought in there.
Uh-huh.
And but the only time they'd ever get in there, if it was a wet, windy day,
they'd get out of
there with a head sticking out the door.
Yeah, all right.
They wouldn't stay in there.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of the time. But, you know, I never had to trim a hoof.
Because they were always
running around. I was out on the ground for hay and stuff. And Mother Nature, a lot of horses don't trim their hooves, you know.
Yeah, I know.
And they stay in good shape.
Because they're always moving.
And the only time you got to trim hooves is if you do shoe them, you got to trim them to put shoes on.
Right.
You should run them open right.
How many horses did you have?
I had two, and then I took care of two more. Which, incidentally, now, out of that bunch, the two that I took care of, both got hit by cars.
Oh, because they were on the open range?
That's
the problem.
And, the one was the one that Carl Wilson's hit.
Mm.
And then he got by the next day, you know.
Mm.
It didn't physically hurt him, but he had a heart attack.
Oh, wow. Scared him so much, huh?
Well, I don't know about
that.
How often was he? He wasn't upset because he's not a real good friend.
Uh-huh. Oh, you mean Carl died, not the horse?
Yeah. The horse died too. But Carl died the next day.
Oh, dear.
And when was that? Do you remember? Can you come up with a year? Because I kind of remember Harry reading about that.
I can't remember.
What was
I driving at that time?
Was it before Kennedy's assassination?
The guy that was never elected president. They stole ballot boxes in Illinois and California, and that's all that got him in there. And if they hadn't stolen those ballot boxes and they hadn't stolen that election, he never would have got shot.
Mm.
And the secondary thing about that, you know, is retribution. Now, believe me. And the second thing about it, Watergate never would have occurred. And all Watergate was is the Republicans getting in there to find out what kind of dirty tricks the Democrats are going to pull now. That's the only reason Watergate ever occurred.
So
that's a matter of fact.
So Carl Wilson died of a heart attack after hitting your horse?
Yeah. Oh. It was the neighbor's horse, but then, you know.
It was probably in the news line.
Trying to think, because it was after that one family was living at my house. Which is why I got the horses in the first place, because the kids wanted some horses, so I got them, and we all rode, you know. Matter of fact, Lynn Funk, she used to go over and ride old Nick. And that old horse, at that time, he was 28 years old, and she could get him over 4 foot jumps.
Wow. I used to ride their horses, the Funk's horses.
Well, that was after that old white horse that they had, you know.
Well, I remember Smokey. And then they had a little Shetland named Mac.
Yeah. Anyway, she came over because she could get old Nick to do jumps and all the rodeo stuff, you know.
Barrel racing.
And then the Roos girl, she rode old Nick quite a bit. But both those were, and they were, that old brother, he'd hardly let a guy on. He'd let smaller, he'd let me on, but he wouldn't let bigger people on. And neither would the Shetland Cross pony that I had. And she wasn't letting anybody like but me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once she got bigger than me, she just laid out. And so did Nick, they just lay down. But Nick had been a pack horse for, what's his name? He used to do the packing off the curve way out on the other highway.
Busby.
Either Busby or there was two of them over there. I can't remember the one. But he'd been the pack horse and lived open range all his life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go out and crowd him in for the summer during the hunt season, and then they'd turn him loose again, you know.
Yeah.
And all the horses survived well over there, unless something got wrong with them, you know.
Right.
And I don't know this. Some of these ideas that people get today, I really don't know.
They're different ideas than they were when you were.
What's always tickled me about the Democrats, you know, old Bill Eden, you know, he came in on a plane out there one day, and I was out there for some reason. It's when he was governor, you know, and nobody met him, you know, and so I was out there and I said, hey, Billy, you need to ride to town, you know, and we were politically arch enemies, you know. But,
mm-hmm.
But you know, what got me about Egan, you know, he had the only store in Valdez, the only grocery store in Valdez, and he went broke. So economically, he was an absolute disaster. He was a nice guy, hell of a nice guy, but he was just dumber than dirt. Well, he was running the Constitutional Convention out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in there all the time. And you were right.
Were you testifying or just listening to what was going on?
Well, listening, and then I had a few comments, you know. But anyway, we had a political science professor out there, a guy named, what's his name? Clear as a $3 bill. But anyway, nobody really knew that at the time. And he actually wrote that damn Constitution. And I don't like the state Constitution. I don't like it at all. And because Egan was trying to, what do you think about that? And he got mixed power, and that's what they put down.
Mm-hmm.
But he was extreme liberal. I mean, he did it ultra liberal. I mean, the university finally fired him, too.
Mm.
I'm not very enthusiastic about all this queer thing. I mean, they can't call themselves gay. Gay is a happy frame of mind. It has nothing to do with homosexuality.
It has changed
has
the
zero
meaning
to
do with of that word.
That's government dirt. Why anybody would even remotely use that term?
Yeah.
They want to call them homosexual or call them queer or call them... They're queer. They're different.
They're different,
you know.
That's for sure. Who else have we been wanting to know about here?
Hey,
what do you know about Joe Kruger?
Well, I remember when at the car kept missing gas.
Mm-hmm.
Kept missing gas, and so finally he went out and buried the tank, put a pump on it, put an inside shut off on it. But he left the old barrels up there that he had all tied together. He left that gas was in them there, and he shooted the crap out of it. Joe kept losing the injuries.
Mm-hmm.
That sugar get into the 270. Well, I knew Joe from real. Pretty well.
Do you know whatever happened to him? Because he was still around when we moved out here, but not, I don't remember ever hearing anything more about him.
Well, he sold the place to whoever, you know, later on.
Yeah.
And he went back in the States somewhere, I think.
Okay.
And it didn't last very long.
Did you spend much time with him?
Not very much.
You didn't know much more about him than the salting?
Well, he had the greenhouse out there, and all that.
Oh.
Remember, right out there at the front, right by the highway?
Was that a greenhouse he sold plants out of?
I know, but I don't know.
Oh, there's some wonderful stories about his greenhouse. I'll have to find
out. But I don't know that he ever did make any money out of that, but then, you know.
His methods didn't seem to have been orthodox, and I doubt if he made any money out of it from the stories some of the others have told.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I ever ate anything out of there, but then.
Yeah, somebody talked about it. Who else? There were a bunch of people that are still around. What about Everett Lindstrand?
Carl Lindstrand?
Carl Lindstrand.
Oh, yeah. Carl's a nice old guy.
What did you know about him?
Somebody claimed that
he used to walk across the road to Tilly's for house all the time, and she helped him out a lot.
Well, Beatrice too. Beatrice said that she figured Carl smell dinner when she started it.
Well, right. But
somebody said that he had to do with surveying this area initially. I think it was either George or Walter mentioned that.
Well, that very well could be, you know.
And been on the crew.
But, see who else is.
Henry Brockman. Did you buy eggs from Tilly or Henry and
no,
Tilly?
No, I didn't.
Mm-hmm. How about when my Uncle Earl was here? Do you remember anything about him when he homesteaded?
No, down that swamp down there.
Yeah, he didn't have a very good piece.
And Colby Everhart was where donkeys are.
Yeah.
Well, right. I don't know whether Mrs. Donkey said
that. Well, that was not ever.
That was Walter's brother?
No, both.
That was Walter's brother?
That's Walter Benet.
Yes.
And he bought that. He bought the Everhart, bought that from Benet.
Yeah, right.
And that was Tilly's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Daughter's husband, you know.
Oh, okay.
And of course,
what about John Colina, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I got his patent for him.
Oh, well, he was homestead?
Yeah, I went up and cleared the land and fought it the first time for him. Got him his title.
Well, he was sort of crippled up or a little bit of a hunchback. What was his
name? No, he wasn't. No, Colina wasn't.
Oh, I thought he had some kind of a...
He had a little metal problem, but then...
He was in the Second World War,
and he came with it.
He had battle fatigue.
Yeah, battle fatigue, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he got way behind the German lines at one time down there. And he was running around with a Jeep doing something. I was trying to roll wine bottles or something, you know. He was back in there, and he came out, and he captured a whole bunch of Germans and brought them back down with him.
When he went on his wine run? Oh, my God.
I think he's still alive. He was living in town, but...
Really?
That's interesting.
Well, he's pretty old.
He's about 86 or 87.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I haven't heard that name for many, many years. I wonder where in the world he is. Berkey sold out to Rissi.
Yeah. He actually had patented it.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
he sold to Rissi.
Right.
That's where he tickles me. I think Rissi kid keep on about being pioneers, and I keep kidding him, well, you bought that damn homestead, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, they did do a lot more than that.
They lived pretty much a five-day life back there with no roads.
Remember that old international cat that Berkey had that he was clearing the land with? And he didn't have a good radiator, so he had this barrel sitting up on the top of it filled with water. And it was leaking all the time, but he'd fill the barrel and it tied into the radio system so it could cool the tractor.
Keep the tractor cool? Oh, that was clever. Like a 50-gallon drum type of barrel?
Yeah.
What was his work? Lee mentioned it, but I forgot.
He was an airplane mechanic, I think.
Okay, that sounds right.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, what's his name? Where are we here now?
Here's Berkey.
Okay, all right, back up this way. What the heck is it?
Loud?
Eshel Road.
Eshel? Gambles?
Gambles, yeah.
Well, Eshel's over here a ways.
There's Dad.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have Gambles on here. Gambles would be over here.
Good.
So did Gambles buy their homestead?
Oh, I thought they homes. A lot of these people didn't never.
Well, there's some empty spaces.
Yeah, and they never proved up. A lot of them didn't prove up. The fire was on there. If you had applied, your name got on here.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
That's the original. Okay.
That's the same thing with Richard Mines.
Right there.
Ace Metcalf. Now he never proved up. Who else was it down here that never did? Tullis, he never did.
How about this Murdy Clark? Did you know him?
He never proved up either. Uh-uh. No, that's going down, down into...
Jackson, did he prove up?
Oh, yeah. Mel did, and O'Leary did.
Ackerman
did.
And me.
Okay, John Cole was farther out.
Bought that homestead.
Oh, okay.
And then he originally had homesteaded somewhere up in here. He and Jim Day. Oh, James R. Day, yeah.
Yeah, I remember reading that.
He had filed on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how Jim got it on under his name. But then Jim sold that out and bought over there.
They apparently homesteaded below the road, from what Betty was saying.
Well,
John Day's homestead was here.
Yeah, he never proved that either.
Are you sure about that? Because that house that they built has been sold and resold.
Maybe he did.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
That wasn't a homestead, though. That was a home site.
That John Day was on?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was on.
Because, see, he was right above Charlie May's place. Because we used to go out there and play cards with them.
Up 9 Mile Hill?
No, it was beyond that. It was
beyond. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In where Foxborough Lane is.
Because that road, you know, after it goes through my place here, it just swings up and it just generally runs around along a long line like mm-hmm. this and goes like
yeah.
this.
Yeah.
Well, John, Cole, yeah, he bought Ackerman's place.
Oh. Oh. Because that's 9 Mile Hill right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, right there, yeah. But then they've got a couple of roads that goes up here.
Because then now they have something called John Colvin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that goes mm-hmm. in about here, you know, somewhere. But the road does swing up about like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then further out, there was a homestead out there that they put up for public auction. And everybody went and missed it. They had to file mm-hmm. and then they had a drawing for the whole mm-hmm. guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A buddy of mine filed on it, and then that was out where the truck outfit is, where right there at the end of the hill. And Al went, he was the guy that won it first, you know. And then the truck outfit is just the next property on beyond what Al had.
Mm.
You know, he took bankruptcy five times in about 4 years.
My gosh.
But
see, he was a real good businessman, huh?
He formed corporations and get them up and borrow a bunch of money and then pull it out.
Oh,
and
wow.
And bankrupt the corporation.
Wow.
That kind of got me because he had a little store out there, you know, there for a while. And later on, the other kids, well, it's the store that's out there now. It's not St. Buddy.
Valley Center? That store?
No, the one out there, 10 Mile.
Oh, yeah, it's not really
yeah. Never has been. Well, it has been successful a couple of times. But
gives cash.
Unless it gets out of a family thing, you know, then it won't
change
anything. But anyway, I was in the store there, and this guy come in, he looked familiar, and I got to thinking, yeah, that's how it went, you know. And then he came over and looked at me, and he couldn't remember who I was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about that was originally his place, all that kind of stuff. And I asked him, how many places have you been bankrupt here lately? I just about asked him, you know.
Did he laugh? Or,
he kind of cried when he left.
I
knew his history in the area.
Yeah.
Someplace out in here on the north side of the road, going uphill, there used to be a little log cabin. I can't remember what's on beyond that. There's something much more recent on beyond.
That was an O'Leary place.
Was it? Could be.
Yeah, yeah. Just above the road.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. And his niece, I think, has what's left of the place. They've subdivided quite a bit of that now.
Mm-hmm.
But they back in this back 40, nobody's cut a tree back in there for years. Jackson's place both. And that's a mistake getting ready to go happen. And all it takes is anything. If that ever catches on fire, of course I don't want any trees within 100 feet of my house. Anywhere a tree can fall and hit my house, I don't want them that far away.
So this is not Chena Hot Springs Road as it is now.
No, this is
Chena Hot Springs Road.
It turns off right there at
it's the same right up there. Because originally it was right on this line here. It came down here.
Mm-hmm.
Up to the corner there. And went down. And then they made the cutoff. And the cutoff starts... Well, but right here at the corner of the maze, where's
the maze?
Oh, right here, right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right from that corner, and then it angles down across like this and comes back.
Yeah, here's his place now, and it goes right around that.
And his house is up in that corner, that place,
mm-hmm.
right? And it just goes past the house, and then it angles down and comes into mine like this.
What is this word here?
Oh, C. Eberhardt, I think.
Oh, for Cody Eberhardt.
Oh, yeah, Eberhardt.
Cody Eberhardt had that place.
Okay.
What do you know about, what was the other name I saw here I wanted to ask about?
McQuinn?
Yeah, Bob McQuinn.
Well, we discussed him already. Crazy McQuinn, right?
Well, I missed that.
Because where was his deal?
Well, he was a painter, though, incidentally, a house painter.
Oh, uh-huh.
And you go by a place where he was working like this, You'd think there was five guys in that room, and he'd be out there talking to himself and then swabbing paint like crazy. He was a good painter, you know.
That's what they say about painting, yeah. Huh? Not really good for your brain. But he proved up on his homestead?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, that's where I did the clearing and stuff for him, too, you know.
Oh, well,
okay, well.
And far background. Got a crop in for him. Never got paid for it. I've got no gasoline out of the deal.
No sugar in it, huh?
Yeah, right.
Charlie Ward, I did the same thing with him. Matter of fact, Jim Day and I were cutting firewood off of that place. Because he was mm-hmm. getting rid of all the bonfires and stuff. And we were cutting firewood. We'd go up there with 6x and knock out 3/4 of firewood up on the trucks, mm-hmm. cut, split, and loaded, and delivered all in 3 hours.
Wow, you got a lot of energy.
It's some of the best cutting. The trees have been bound almost about a year.
Oh, now. So they're easy
and
to go
easy
through.
Easy to split and all that. Mm-hmm. And primarily spruce, you know, and mm-hmm. The sunbirds. But we'd go up there and do that. We'd deliver it over to Tilly, and we'd go mm-hmm. off down the road, you know, mm-hmm. like that. But 3 hours.
Wow.
We always took it, between us, we took 6 chainsaws. And if that chainsaw wasn't throwing chips, it got put in the truck and another one got gotten out.
Oh, that was a good way to do it.
The other way, anybody that's a serious woodcutter always carries at least 3 saws per person.
Yeah. Hmm. Now, you haven't said anything yet about working on surveying on Chinook Hot Springs.
Well, that was way out, though. That was after 20 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even on this map. You know, it's way out here. But
yeah, around where tax was.
There was an outfit out of Mississippi actually got the engineering
contract,
and then what was that guy here in town that was a local surveying outfit? I can't remember his name, but he hired me to haul the surveyors, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
build a road.
Pioneer the whole line.
Yeah. Okay.
And, but out there, you know, when you go up against the hills, you know, when you get out on the, after 20 miles, you get up against mm-hmm. the hill. Well, if you get right up close to the foot of the hill, that's all saw.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if right there from the green trail, you start going down the road.
Yeah.
Well, we went down below down there, and we picked up the river road.
Mm-hmm.
River route. You stay close to the river, you got to get all good
mm-hmm.
solid ground.
Mm-hmm.
That's where, and I wouldn't even haul those surveyors or the engineers. I wouldn't even haul them up against that hill. I took them back there a couple of times. We mm-hmm. weren't sure what the swamp is, you know. And I says, no, you don't want to build a road back here.
Mm-hmm.
Stay down close to the river. And that's the reason they did the channel changes and all that stuff down the river, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good road. And effectively, just no maintenance, you know.
Down along the off of Grangehall Road?
Well, you go down a ways there. Well, you.
Oh, past Grangehall.
About the time you go into Parks down, you know, mm-hmm. that's when we first started. That, mm-hmm. We engineered the other part just to tie it in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we're on up the springs, and then Carl Wilson got in. He got on the act with me also, and Carl did a lot of the upper end clearing on that, you know, later on next mm-hmm. year. But we had a huge top clearing real quick, so you fly up and fly up to the. Benchmark on top of that stupid mountain up there. But anyway, this French built helicopter could carry 4 or 5 guys, had to be besides the pilot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an Alouette. But at that time, it had the altitude record in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But we were sitting down on top of that mountain up there, tying in, they call it temporary benchmark, TBMs.
Oh, yeah.
And you put in the TBMs mm-hmm. first, and you work off of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we were setting those TBMs and locating them, you know. And we got up on top mm-hmm. of the hill. We had this transit out, and they had 3 guys out there holding the legs of the
Oh, because the wind was so bad?
The wind was so bad that it wouldn't hold still. So there was the 3 of us doing big ballast up there on the base legs.
Wow.
And he shot in all those TBMs. And then on the helicopter, staying there, you know. And he was hanging on one ski, sitting on the hillside,
mm-hmm.
and the other in the air, and having a flight, and he was indicating 75 knots.
Wow. Wow.
That's how windy it was when we were up there.
Wow.
That always got me on that one.
Did you have any near misses with bears on your homestead?
Not too much. That's soon after I got out here, you know. They broke into my cabin 4 or 5 times, and, mm-hmm. and I decided that never while I was there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a vendetta. I went down that valley out there. I just started killing bears. I mean, uh-huh. In the wintertime, I'd go out and I'd see the steam come out.
Oh,
there, you know,
killing them again.
You poke them with a stick, and believe me, you can rouse them up enough that they come out. They're real groggy, and they're coming out. Boom, and you blow them in the head, and you put them back in the hole. I mean,
uh-huh.
I didn't have any problem at all bears after that.
And yeah, I bet.
There never has been any bear around here in the country.
Stetschardt?
Well, this would be on Nordale, only Nordale wasn't there at the time.
Oh,
and Nordale was it? Came right down.
No, it's Betchard. That is
Betchard. You're Betchard. Right. Oh, right. It should be a B there.
You hit apple trees there?
I know. That's why I wondered what you remembered about him.
Oh,
I'd heard
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. And then he brought his niece up.
Mm-hmm.
And his niece stayed there with him in later years. But it crossed. Yeah, that was a home site, I think.
Could have been. He didn't
because
have a big
like that. Because mm-hmm. then Billburn came in later in
Billburn
sold out to who?
Well, sold part of it to Harold.
Yeah.
And part of it to Severns.
Oh, yeah, Severns. Right.
Yeah, there's...
I'm not good on names to start with, so I got to look and see the name.
Yeah, it really helps to see.
Well, he had quite a reputation as a horticulturalist, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
But he was... I think he was gone. Do you have any idea...
He was still here after I homesteaded.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
For how long? That's the question.
Yeah.
If he was still down there, we never heard him. Now, Ann talks about going down and visiting with him.
Mm-hmm. When she was...
When the kids were small.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Her kids were small. But I have no idea. I don't think I've ever been able to find out when he left.
We used to come and go down, and down you guys' room. We go over and go down to his place.
Mm-hmm.
And took the old winter trail. Of course, he was right on the old winter trail.
Yeah, it would have been.
And right, the winter trail was right here. It shows it here, right below. That's no longer a trail. That is not a legal trail.
The old winter trail is it?
It's not a legal trail.
Hmm.
And that's what we all heard about, you know, because when they built Chena Hot Springs Road, they didn't pay us for it.
Yeah.
And RS 2477 says you may move a road as long as you make it equal to or better than for commercial purposes. So the federal government moved that damn road from down there up to there.
Yeah.
And so then that got abandoned?
That's gone. Right?
Oh, but everybody...
And remember, the base cut it off. They wouldn't even let us go through there after this was built.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah, I heard it.
I mean, of course, we all screwed around and used that trail.
Sure.
But none of us, it was not a legal trail even then.
Yeah.
As you get out here on Nordale, you'll see a trail that cuts off like this and goes headed out across the flats here.
Mm-hmm.
That one that angles down like that.
Yeah.
I made that with a D9. I was doing land clearing for, what's his name? No big fat guy. He farmed a lot, big potato farmer. What was his name? It was Dick Odd, and I was running the 9 clearing for him.
Hmm.
And I was clearing land over here. Well, matter of fact, where are we here? Yeah, I cleared all that at the trailer court, all that ground there.
Mm-hmm.
I cleared all that with that knife, and I was having to walk it.
That's on Mutchler's?
No, it was later on. What's his name? Their names now? They still got part of it. The family. No. Beg your pardon.
You're not thinking Rainier's.
No.
Okay.
Well, we did some of that too. We built for everybody, and some of them got paid for, some of them didn't.
Was Johnston there?
They don't even have old Higgins homestead.
Not the Salix.
Oh, yeah, Higgins homestead right there.
Yep.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But,
the Salix.
The Salix, yeah. The Salix bought it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they also had bought the Butler homestead.
Yeah, I got that over there.
And we cleared it for him. We cleared it all the way down. buying.
He wanted to sell us some of that property, but I don't know if that was too much slap.
Actually, after he cleared it, it got better by quite a bit, you know.
It took a while to drive.
That's all down there in the flat before you get to the expressway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, I was walking that flat, and I walked right in, and I caught the section line, then I dropped down. I wanted to get down across here because I caught, didn't cross that creek. But anyway, there's so many potholes down here, and I'd come up to the pothole, and you get into the trees, you can't see ahead, so you just look at the back, you keep a straight line. Well, if you look at that tunnel down there, it's a straight line.
Uh-huh.
Right? Well, that's because I was looking, making a straight line, and then when I got to the end of the trees, I just looked backwards and stayed, maintained a straight line.
Right.
Well, I get up those little slopes that were down in there, you know, and I come up to those, and I just go around the edges of it, and pick up my backside and go on, you know.
Oh, so that's why the trail has these little bends.
Well, that's way up after, way up past all you guys out here.
Mm-hmm.
And, when I first went into it, I'd take a side on I knew whose house it was to blow up there, you know, and I'd aim at that, you know.
Oh, okay.
And that's how I navigated.
Like a sailor.
Yeah. the next year after Dick and I both quit because Paul wouldn't maintain the cap. We used up all our grease and all of our oil and stuff, you know, like on that cap, and he wouldn't get us a new cutting edge for the bottom and all that kind of stuff. And he's got just about a month before we quit. Paul sent me to town to get cable for the blade. He'd always go down and buy a half-inch cable instead of 5/8, which was supposed to be in it.
Uh-huh.
And all he had to do was just sharpen off the blade and it'd break the cable.
Uh-huh.
And so he sent me to town to get cable, and I bought a whole spool of 5/8 cable. Anyway, this next year, and when I hung it up, when you break cable in those cable blades like that, it'll go into the spool on the front of the tractor.
Oh,
it'll just break that little piece.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then if you've got the spool up there to work, you just pull it out.
Yeah.
Pull the shield and shove it back in and rewind it. Uh-huh. And, the next year, Albert's own nephew or something was running the cat, and he was following my trail. You can see the word trail on the other side. He just went right out through that bum swamp and went down into Birdie Cat, and all you could see was the one corner of the blade sticking out of the ground.
I think that story is in somebody's
interview.
Somebody's
in a room. That was Paul Albert's own rally.
Right.
Then Dick Lodd would have gotten it out with his D6. He had a winch on the D6.
Yeah.
And he had the first, he had it moving, and Paul went down and threw a bunch of logs in front of it to ramp it up.
Suicide. Mr. Butchard, I think, came upon somebody that lived up closer to the road. There were a couple of guys who were woodcutters or something like that.
That's the section.
And
who did it? Betcher?
Betcher, well, he...
That must have been
he was a neighbor.
Yeah.
And he was going up there for some reason, and I think discovered the body or something. I found
think
that
was...
in a newspaper item.
What year was that? You remember?
Pardon?
What year was that?
You no, I don't know. I can. It maybe is in some of those interviews. I don't know. If I find it, I'll let you know. But I think it was pretty early.
Mm.
But my roommate at college, after I left the university, he committed suicide the next year.
Hmm.
And I've had a bunch of friends when they committed suicide.
Wow.
Who else did I? I try to forget that.
Yeah.
Bernard O'Leary, did you ask about him?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was talking about him. They were the woodcutters.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he used to, later on after the road was built, you know, and he'd come out to get wood, but he never used the road. He always used a trail.
Mm.
And he'd sneak into, because they were using chains and stuff like that, and he didn't want to fight the hills and stuff, well, they were
uh-huh.
stuff, so
uh-huh.
he'd still use the winter trail in the wintertime. And he'd bring a bunch of natives out there. Of course, that part native too, the O'Leary's are.
Oh, okay.
And, he'd bring up a bunch of beer, and he always bring a bunch of beer, you know. Well, once but they wouldn't give me beer until after they loaded all the trucks completely full. And they had a party, then they'd take off the next morning, and invariably they'd get over right to Beckett's place, and there used to be a glacier that went down across the trail.
Oh, from the creek?
It was up above the creek. I don't know where that glacier came from, but it came right out of the front of the hill down here. And it used to go clear down across the winter trail. Well, they get up there in their trucks and get on that ice and they slide off and they get all screwed up. Well, then Bernard had an old RD6, which the original D6 was a three-cylinder, same as a D8, except only three of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this old RD6 and it had a bad steering clutch in it, but it ran good.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So they'd walk, one of them to walk back up and get a hold of me, and I'd go over and I'd start up that old RD and I'd go down the trail and go walk it over here and get pull them all through over down at Bulldogger's. And then they could make it all the way to town, then I would walk the cat back home again.
Oh, and then they just keep going on the trail.
Yeah.
So they could drive a cat on that trail at that time.
Oh, in the wintertime.
In the wintertime.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you can get over there.
That's a lot shorter.
What hole is it?
Where did it come out?
Well, it came out down the what the hell's the name of the road here? It's on the base. Right at the cemetery, yeah.
Trainer Gate Road?
There was a homestead. Isabel.
Well, it's right there where the cemetery is now, you know.
Oh, at the base of Birch Hill?
Yeah, right at the base of Birch Hill. It came out right there. What the hell's the name of that road? They don't even have it on here.
Northern one.
But it was a named road at that time.
Oh.
Well, that name has been in the news lately because I think there now is an official street. The sign.
Yeah, but
having to do with the subdivision or something.
No, but I think it's still that same name.
You mean where that new
huge.
You go right by there. They got that.
But north of that.
They got right that, you know, that cement thing that holds the.
Yeah.
You put the bodies in and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. And mausoleum.
It's right below that, you know. It goes in. But anyway, they used to come out there, and you know, then all they had to do was just go down here. They were all in that bunch in the Grail subdivision. Mm-hmm. They were all right there in that corner down there, you know.
I wonder if you can still see the trail entrance if it's all overgrown, you know, where it's there.
Yeah. Well, you know, Grimmins, before the Second World War, Grimmins had a homestead right there where the base is. Paul did. And then when they bought it, they bought his land and gave him rights to another homestead out. Where is it at? It was before this map was made. And, it's on Farmer's Leave.
Oh,
else it's right there. Paul Grimmins right here.
Mm-hmm.
And they got more than a section. So he got two sections.
Mm.
And then Nordale did. Of course, what they call Nordale Road now, the real name of that is Nordale, over here, Tonsa.
Nordale Witchy?
It was a hyphenated name, Nordale hyphen Tonsett.
Oh,
and the old Tonsett was good. Remember Tonsett? Tonsett was the city clerk?
Yeah, yes. I do remember that name.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and...
No, I had never heard that.
And that was one of the old original homesteads. And they offered to sell me that whole 320-acre homestead for $3,500, and I never got around to it to pay them. They had sold to another guy for
$4,500. Oh, wow. What a deal.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't know all these... Where is that? It should be on here, because it was 53. That may have been after they sold it. Let's see. Where the heck are they? Oh, it's got to be... Where's Nordale? There's Nordale, so is this...
Nordale, right?
Nordale,
this is what Nordale
is. Okay, Nordale down here. Well, then it's back over here.
Yeah, it actually swings over to the east a little bit.
That was an old patented homestead. Way back. Because it's miner's bad. Homestead's bad.
Pardon? Where did you get this?
The original copy was left in our old house.
Huh. Oh, and then you just took it down to the
boat. That copy's made, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, I'll be darned, of course, that would be...
But
Nordale does a funny thing right here. It swings. They may even pick up the line again.
Nordale
but
swings
should be in there.
East a little bit.
But it was right down where
Where
PD goes across this way. And then it's... What's that other road that goes in over there? Tonsett. There we are. And now they've named that road Tonsett.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, there's T.H. Thomas. See, he had this homestead and went across the river.
Right.
And went this and had two sections down there.
Right.
Was he another one of the people that the military bought out?
No. No, there wasn't even out here,
But you said that one guy got bought out.
It seems to me Nordale's also had one of the homesteads here, and that's when they got the big homestead out here. I think nearly all of these that had those two-section homesteads out in here, nearly all those people were originally homesteaded back in here.
Because it sounds like they did that to sweeten the deal. Here, we'll give you two sections instead of one.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
And that's Bill Daphne was the one that started all that.
Yeah. Arthur Brown. This was the jeweler, right?
Brown's Hill, yeah.
Brown's Hill, yeah. But he had a jewelry store on the corner of Cushman and Second, as I remember.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he's in some of these stories, too, because he apparently is quite a character.
Yeah.
You'll get all these stories eventually, Bob, if you're interested.
I was driving the school bus, and I got down to Badgers. Where the heck is Badgers somewhere down here? It's before you get to North Pole.
Well, Badger may be off of this.
Well, no, it's just right on the road. Badger homestead.
Well, here.
It would be along the river.
No, this must
right
be.
Right here.
There you go.
This Badger Road right here.
Yeah, there's Nordale. That's past that, past Grannon's.
Yeah, this is all Badger Road.
Huh.
See, this
is right there by where the Coos place is. I bet it's right in here, then, I'll bet you. Anyway, I was driving the school bus, and I was training a new driver, and he was driving. And it was wintertime. They had the old floor off the sloughs up across the road.
Oh, wow.
Back that deep, you know. We had a whole bunch of kids, you know. I kept telling them to stay on it.